Hey founders, this is the SaaS Boss Show, the podcast for SaaS founders in the growth stage who want to get unstuck, build high-performing teams, and get clarity about how to build a profitable startup. Every week, I interview SaaS consultants, coaches, and experts who work with dozens of startups just like yours and share their best strategies to overcome the daily challenges of growing a profitable SaaS. My name is Natalie Luniva, and I'm a growth and leadership coach to SaaS founders, and I'm also married to a SaaS founder, and I'm so pleased that you've joined us on this conversation. Hi, everyone. I'm recording this episode hoping that all of us can assess our point of view about coronavirus and how all of us can find opportunities to make our businesses stronger and more valuable to our customers in the time of crisis. I heard lots of comments from my network that media were overblowing this and it's not as bad or similar to flu. However, it looked like people just maybe didn't have the real stats or facts. And I'll share with you the facts that I have. Number one, we don't have immunity for coronavirus. Number two, there's no vaccine for that. And number three, the mortality rate is much higher than flu, as much as 2 times to 20 times, or even more than that. The economy is definitely affected. Stock market suffers the worst crash of decades. They even had to do a pause for trading to stop a panic twice this week, even though financial specialists predicted that it couldn't get this bad, and they predicted at least another year of economic growth. But here we are, and this is the health crisis. Our businesses, our customers' businesses, all of us are feeling the impact of this. The cancellations, so many events that we were planning to go were canceled. Budgets are being frozen, and it's likely going to take a few months for it to start getting better. In these times, we have to adapt. And the first step to that is change of position, finding out how we can be a part of the solution, and then how we can help our businesses and how we can help our customers. I highly encourage you to read the article Coronavirus, Why You Must Act Now, by Thomas Pueyo on Medium. The last name is hard to spell, but if you just search for coronavirus, why you must act now, you'll find it. It's been posted on March 10th, and within 48 hours, it got 17 million views. Within a couple of days, it's been translated to more than a dozen of languages too. So that's definitely something worth your read. It's a long article, but I think it's gonna be very valuable. So this is my view of the situation. I see that many founders report that they are already affected. Just earlier today on Facebook, I saw some founders saying that they've been getting zero sales in the last few days, which is more than just unusual for them. I am subscribed to Ben Murray's email list. Ben is better known as SaaS CFO. And on March the 9th, he shared information that SaaS companies need to get ready. And so I reached out to Ben a couple of days ago, asking him if he'd be so kind to share his opinion on the situation and what founders can do now. And here we are. Ben, welcome to the show.
Hi, Natalie. Thanks for having me.
Would you care to share your take on coronavirus?
Yeah, definitely. It's changing day to day, but it's definitely going to have an impact on our businesses, you know, in the short term, and we'll see how long term, you know, lasting it is. And yeah, that's why I put out an email to my subscriber list saying that it's time to forecast. You know, whether, you know, good times or bad, you know, financial forecasting is always a good practice. Whether it's coronavirus or industry disruption or something else that's causing panic, you know, the time is now to start preparing your business, to forecasting, you know, to making sure you have enough cash. You know, it's definitely a cliche, but right now cash is king, you know, that you're prepared to ride this out.
Best time was yesterday. Second best time is today, huh?
Yep.
What's the economy situation now? Can you share your view on this?
It's hard to say. Obviously, the stock markets have been disrupted and have gone down pretty fast, you know, but I think on our individual SaaS businesses and small businesses, I think it's going to delay decisions, you know, and like you said, founders saying that they're not having sales, You know, so I think it's just in times of uncertainty, people push off those big decisions or push off sales. You know, so that's where we have to start thinking about, you know, our customer base, how they're thinking about the impact of the coronavirus, how your prospects, you know, are impacted by this and how that's going to affect their buying decisions. So I think, you know, for this year, 2020, you know, you can throw out all your budgets and forecasts that you prepared at the beginning of the year or the end of last year and rethink, you know, how this is going to impact your business so you can get through it. Because I know we'll get through it and it's going to be better on the other side. But right now we have to probably suffer a little bit.
And how coronavirus and volatility affect our strategy, our financial strategy?
You really just have to think about, you know, the next upcoming months, you know, hiring decisions, you know, your sales process, you know, whether it's inbound sales, outbound sales, and just think about your revenue model and really take a look at your revenue forecast and cash receipts and just your monthly operating expenses, just to see again, you know, how much cash runway you have, you know, how far can sales go down before you feel the pinch. And then start planning, because it's no fun when you get to that point where you're living payroll to payroll, just trying to cover payroll. But start thinking ahead of time of how you can prepare for that.
Actually, Matthew Hammond of Labelbox asked me this question: how will this affect hiring plans? And if he was planning to hire someone, what would be your recommendation?
Just like your customers are potentially, you know, our prospects delaying sales decisions or purchasing decisions, I think same thing on the employer side, where you really have to understand the impact of those hires, whether there's 1, 2, 5, or 10 on your business. If sales do go down, revenue goes down, can you sustain that level of headcount and that level of payroll? So I think that's where you really have to look at your short-term tactical forecast, just to make sure that the hires make sense, or is that hire going to be revenue generating that can help you generate or increase sales versus something that might be more back office?
You've mentioned looking at our financial strategy and predicting how much cash we still are able to generate in the next few months. What are some other things that we can look at looking at our numbers?
It depends on your go-to-market strategy, and you know, if you say heavily rely on partnerships or channel sales, you know, that you're reaching out to those partners just to make sure, you know, good strategy is still in place, or that you're content to execute, you know, on those sales strategies. So it really depends on that go-to-market. Do you have to adjust your strategies that maybe the thing that was working last week is no longer going to work over the next few months? That could be, you know, creative pricing, you know, potentially discounts, but is there a different way to reach your prospect, to think a little creative about getting around, you know, kind of the short-term issues that we're having right now?
Are there any other suggestions? You've mentioned a couple right now, creative pricing strategy, maybe thinking about discounts, a different way of thinking about acquiring customers. Any other ways that your clients and the founders that you work with are planning to weather out for the next few weeks and months?
I think you have to look at what's under your control, right? You know, obviously you have impact on sales and pushing sales and your revenue, but really it's thinking about your cash and your liquidity and your balance sheet, you know, because you do have control over, say, your operating decisions, your operating expense, to really take a hard look at that, see what you can do. Because yeah, you want to push sales and do your best there, but sometimes that's going to be, right, you don't have complete right control over that, or as much as we'd like. So really it's going to be looking at your cash balances, your balance sheet, and even, you know, do you have loans that, you know, you're making payments on, you know, and that's where it's that forecasting, just to make sure you have cash to cover your operating expenses, any debt, you know, potentially do you have to work something out with your lender in the short term to get through this, right? This is because if you are feeling the pinch right now, you know, it's really just about surviving this short-term period. So again, look at the things that are under your control. And obviously on the revenue side, you know, you might have to think differently, but one thing is just, you know, what factors can you influence directly?
So this is the best time to take a look at something that you can cut back on, the spending that you currently have, maybe some subscriptions, Or if there are some tools and software that you're paying for on an annual basis, and maybe the charge is going to come up pretty soon, and that's a pretty large annual charge, maybe consider switching that to a monthly to help you get more cash.
Yeah, definitely. You can look at those upcoming renewals internally in your operating expense that maybe you can influence or delay or push off. And of course, you know, we don't want to panic, but it does come down to just making sure your business can get through this period. And sometimes you have to make those hard decisions to push that expense. So yeah, it would be good to look at those major expenses, any discretionary expenses, professional services, fees, of course, travel that everybody's looking at right now, to make sure, you know, you can minimize your operating expense if you are feeling the cash pinch, you know, currently.
Are there any other risks that we can run into?
In the US, you know, the government is trying to increase liquidity, help small businesses. But again, you know, maybe in the short term, it's difficult. If you need, say, a line of credit to get through, you know, maybe financing is going to dry up in the short term, you know, even though the government is going to try to support liquidity in the market and help small businesses, which is great. Just in this short term kind of panic, it could be a little more difficult to secure maybe financing or line of credit or increase the size of your line of credit. You know, so just other things, you know, those sources of cash that you rely on. And then, of course, just your own cash collections with your customers. You know, they might slow down on their payments. And collections takes work, you know, so if you're being paid by credit card, not an issue unless they start canceling credit cards. But if you receive cash from your customers, payments from your customers via check, wire, ACH, that you have to stay diligent with your accounts receivable collection just to make sure your working capital is coming in, your collections are coming in.
I know that you are big on forecasting. Tell us a little bit more on this.
When you think about small businesses or SaaS, you know, SaaS software or SaaS companies, to forecast a SaaS business, right, you have revenue and your headcount. So you can start really basic if you're not forecasting. And I have a few templates out there, but really you can just look at your cash receipts coming in. And with a SaaS company, headcount and, you know, payroll and related benefits are the majority of the expense on a SaaS P&L. So if you can kind of follow that 80-20 rule and think about, all right, where are my cash receipts? Where are my cash sources coming into the business? You have your headcount roster, your wages, taxes, and benefits. That will help you at least get an idea of what kind of operating expenses that you have if you're not doing any sort of forecasting right now. So you can look at your headcount roster, the wages, plus, you know, with a SaaS company, you know, it's going to be people, commissions, rent, some other fees. You know, so hit up those major expenses, look at those major expenses that are typical with a SaaS company and kind of project those out for the next couple months. If you haven't been doing any forecasting at all, that's where I'd recommend that you start just with those major expenses within your organization.
Are there any other recommendations that you can give as far as accounting? Because it is a hot topic for all founders.
Beyond the crisis, right? Yeah, you have to have good accounting with a SaaS company. You know, probably as you scale past a million ARR, you want to have good fundamental accounting in place. Usually SaaS companies are outsourcing their accounting, you know, to a bookkeeper or CPA firm. So you got to make sure you have a firm that knows SaaS, understands SaaS. And then also right now, you know, if you are having, you know, it's outsourced and say the turnaround is slow with your financial statements, that's also going to impact your decision-making. For example, if you're, you know, you just closed the prior month and you want to see how you did financially, you know, if it's taking a couple weeks, couple, 3 weeks, even 4 weeks for them to close your books for the prior month, right now that would just be too slow to understand your financial performance. So it's also having the metrics data available to manage your business. And maybe some of that can come real time from your systems or, you know, from Stripe or whatever it might be, but also your financial statements. You know, it's going to be important to close the books fast so you can see your financial performance so you can be proactive over the next couple months.
You've mentioned make sure that your accounting team is very knowledgeable about particularly SaaS. How do we know if they're good with SaaS specific accounting? We would really want to pin down something like if there is a specific question that we can ask our accountants to make sure that yes, they are fully aware about what can be done best with accounting.
Yeah, definitely. I think you need to ask them, obviously, if they have experience helping other SaaS companies, but really you can ask them for a SaaS company. It's about revenue recognition, because you see a lot of SaaS companies that are small that are not implementing the proper revenue recognition policies. So if you're speaking to a bookkeeper or outsourced accountant, you can ask them about their experience with ASC 606 or IFRS 15 around the new RevRec policies and framework, just to make sure they understand that, they have experience with that, they have experience with the SaaS subscription model and deferring revenue and the correct way to recognize revenue, because that's a common thing that you see with smaller SaaS companies that makes sense, that it's really, their revenue is more of a cash-based revenue. So it's really difficult to understand the performance of your financials and business without proper RevRec in place for your SaaS company. Like I said, in good times or bad, it's always good practice to forecast, and it doesn't have to be sophisticated. Again, it could just be a basic cash forecast, and then, slowly building the maturity of that financial process. So one thing as SaaS companies scale, right, you have outsourced accounting, most likely, or a bookkeeper, that, the monthly process that you see within more mature companies that you want to try to shoot for is financial statements that are prepared within 5 or 6 business days for the prior month. You're able to review the performance of those, see your SaaS metrics, and then you kind of roll into a forecasting phase. So each month you're closing your books, reviewing the financial performance with your team, looking at the metrics that matter for your business, and then forecasting out for the year or the next 12 months. So that's what you want to try to achieve within your SaaS business, but to have that financial transparency so that you can be proactive in your business and not reacting, if things change or your assumptions weren't correct down the road.
And I know your website has lots of great information and templates. Just yesterday, I've downloaded a few of them. You actually have a bunch of them, really inexpensive. I think one batch is like for $9. You offer more than a dozen of templates. I've purchased everything that you had, basically, as far as the templates. Highly recommend. If you have questions or you're not sure about your SaaS financials, definitely that would be the easiest way to go around this. And then you also have a bunch of videos recorded explaining how to use those templates. So very valuable resource. Any other final parting words?
Yeah, and I have tons of free resources, templates on my site. So that's an easy way for SaaS founders or teams to kind of a quick start if they need to start forecasting or if they need to understand their SaaS metrics or cost of acquisition. All those resources are free as well there on my site. And I have videos as well just to help out in general.
Ben, this has been great. Lots of insightful information here. Where can founders find you?
Yep, I have two sites. I have my blog at thesasscfo.com, where you can download all my templates for free and check out my in-depth articles on SaaS metrics and SaaS operations. And then I just launched thesasacademy.com, where I have an online course in SaaS metrics, a couple free courses on my forecast models, and more paid and free courses to come.
Sounds good. Well, Ben, thank you so much for all your time.
Thanks for having me. Enjoyed it.
That's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to the SaaS Boss Show. If you found this content interesting, I'd really appreciate it if you take just a second to leave a review on iTunes so that founders just like you can learn about this show. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, and I'll be back with another interview next week.